Our scripture this morning is from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire, for reading the word of the Lord for us, and Dean for leading us in singing. It's great to be gathered together this morning. Christmas Sunday, according to the Christian calendar. This is the day we celebrated last Sunday too, and I think it's so great that we can not rush from Christmas, but just celebrate this time that we remember Christ coming to this world for our salvation. Join me in a prayer as we begin here. God, we are grateful that we have an opportunity to gather together this morning. Thank you for each person here. We remember those that aren't able to be with us this morning. And thank you for this beautiful text in Colossians. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. And we follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you received anything recently? Turn to your neighbor and share something that you've received. Maybe it was a greeting when you came in this morning from our lovely greeters, or something else that you've received. Turn to your neighbor and tell them something you've received recently. All right. Thank you. This morning, we celebrate the receiving of Christ's birth and coming to earth. Receiving of grace. And as we celebrate this receiving, we also have an invitation to consider our own rebirth in Christ. What is the new thing that God is doing in each of our lives and within our congregation this Christmas season? And this is actually the lectionary text for this Christmas Sunday from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. This text in Colossians would have been written around 50 AD. Paul's epistles to various churches helped establish so much of early Christian theology. And interestingly, this text in Colossians was written while Paul was in prison. So that alone is pretty amazing. It just gives this space to acknowledge praising God and finding God even in the midst of hardship that Paul was experiencing. And I think it's so important to name that because it gives us space to recognize our own places of pain and hardship this Christmas season. And yet, even in the midst of that, this beautiful text here in Colossians, this passage is so applicable to the Christmas season because it helps us to explore, first and foremost, who is Christ? Who is this God that we worship? All of these different things that Paul mentions here to be clothed in, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, is first and foremost an understanding of who Christ is. The qualities that we hear in this passage all describe who the God is that we worship. God in Christ is a God that has the very character of compassion, the very character of kindness, the very character of humility. Coming to earth as a vulnerable baby. The very character of meekness, the very character of patience. And God in Christ bears with one another and forgives. And above all, God in Christ shows us perfect love. And I think of the text, "For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him shall have life and life abundant." And verse 1 in this text tells us that we are the beloved of God. We are the beloved of God, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So important to start with that word, to receive that you are the beloved of God. So as I was thinking about this sermon and different directions that we could go with it, I was just coming back to these words of how do we receive this gift? How do we truly allow this grace to be accepted? How do we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? How do we let the Word dwell in us richly? How do we receive this gift of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, forgiveness, and above all else, love from Christ, from God our Father, and seen in Christ? I was thinking about this, especially what it means to let peace rule. Let is found in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. When you hear that word let, does it sound like it's easy to allow it to come? Let is one of those words where there has to be a willingness to accept it. Let in the Greek is an imperative command verb, to allow or to permit. Another word to say it, allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Allow the grace to be received. Let. I think that to let is in some way to say, okay, I can't do this myself. This is too big for me. I need help. I need grace. I need peace. I need your strength. I thought about how we use this word let in conversation. And if you remember back to our sermon 4 years ago, I actually talked about this as well, but I'm taking a chance that maybe you don't remember it completely. But I remember this so well as I was a server at Friendly's. And one of the greatest things to watch and observe as a waiter is when you hand that check and to see the fight for who's going to take the bill. And it's this competition. No, let me take it. No, please, let me take it. And I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm sorry. I just hope you give a nice tip. I don't really care who takes it. But every time it seemed as if there's this desire or this need to at least offer to take the bill, even if you know at the end who's really going to take it. So what is it in this idea of allowing and receiving that touches within something that is hard? Speaking to myself as well, I thought about a story on the Camino de Santiago that I want to share. And I have a picture. Todd? Okay, there it is. Thank you very much. This is Lier Sinel. He's a gentleman from Brazil. And this was a lesson for me in letting Lier Sinel show hospitality to me. So this was about 4 days into the Camino and I got some bad blisters. And actually on the whole Appalachian Trail, I never got one blister, but 4 days into the Camino, I got blisters. It's really hard packed and a little bit more road walking. But anyways, I was experiencing some significant pain. If you've ever had blisters, they hurt. And Lier Sinel is actually his third time walking the Camino. And he said, "I have a Camino trick." I was like, okay. He said, "First of all, put your feet up in my lap." Okay, first of all, my feet are nasty. It is a vulnerable thing to put your feet up on Lier Sinel's lap after walking 15 miles that day. And he said, no, right here. It was beautiful. And he takes out a sanitized needle and thread. And he actually puts the thread through the blister. He ties a knot through the thread. He said, this will work. The blister will wick out, all the pus will wick out through the thread, and you will be good in 2 days. And it worked. But in that moment of receiving hospitality, I recognized that I was feeling very vulnerable to allow Liersino to show me hospitality. What was it deep inside of me that had a little bit of shame? And you can put the picture down now, Todd. They don't need to see my feet all day. What is that posture, if I'm really honest, that I dig really deep down into that is a little bit shameful to put my feet up on his lap? It felt vulnerable to receive there, and yet I was so extremely grateful for that hospitality. I want to share a little bit from Brennan Manning, who is the author of Ruthless Trust and also the author of Ragamuffin Gospel. I think he has some words of wisdom here to help me to help us understand this understanding of how receiving can be hard. He says in Ruthless Trust, "The great weakness in the North American church at large, and certainly in my own life, is our refusal to accept our brokenness. We hide it, evade it, gloss over it. We grab for the cosmetic kit and put on our virtuous face to make ourselves admirable to the public. Thus, we present to others a self that is spiritually together, superficially happy, with a sense of self-depreciating humor that passes for humility. If there is a conspicuous absence of power and wisdom in the North American church, it has arisen because we have not come to terms with the tragic flaw in our lives, the brokenness that is proper to the human condition. Without that acknowledgement, there can be little power. For as Jesus said to the apostle, my power works at its best in your weakness." I think there's something so true in that we have a hard time acknowledging our weaknesses. I had a hard time there in the community to really acknowledge that my blisters were really hurting and I need help. Because there's a little bit of pride there for me that I could do this without their help. It's this posture of vulnerability that Manning is inviting us into, to receive, to not hide the brokenness. This idea of vulnerable receiving with open hands as opposed to, I'm good. When I receive, I will probably be shaped by it. In other words, there's something there that I need, and that's humbling. Because it means that I have room to grow. That I really need to be filled more. I think of the text from Micah 6:8. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. And yet, it's humbling to receive. But this Sunday that we celebrate Christ coming to earth, what a beautiful picture of humility that we see in Christ himself. So central, it seems, to how we understand receiving grace. And so this morning we are people who are growing in receiving the peace of Christ and receiving the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. We are growing in being a people that can receive grace well, to allow grace to rule in our hearts. And so I wonder if to learn to receive is to learn to let. In some ways, it might mean to let go. What do I mean by that? To learn to let is to learn to let go. To let go of the idea that I can do this myself. To let go of the idea that, Liersino, I got it. No, don't help my feet. I had to let go of that. To let go of my ego. That to learn to let and to learn to receive is to let go of my pride. To let go of the fear of what people might think of me because now I look a little weaker. To let go and to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. To let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And even Paul, what a beautiful example of this, writing this while he's in prison in a vulnerable state. He is showing us this understanding of letting and receiving grace in his time of difficulty. To let is to allow. It is to receive freely. And I believe this morning, as we celebrate the Christ candle this Christmas, we remember again, God has a gift of grace and peace for each of us. God is giving us his word to dwell in us. And how are we a people that can receive that peace and that word this morning? How are we a people this morning that can vulnerably say, I receive? From John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us receive that grace and truth this morning. And whatever we do, as this beautiful text reminds us at the end, in word or deed, let us receive and do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.